Hey, good morning. Welcome. It's kind of like the best morning. This is a morning where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. This is a morning where, like, when I was interning, the pastor of the church where I was interning said, "This is such a big holiday that there should be fireworks on Easter." And I was thinking of that this morning when we were doing our sunrise service and thought, how mad would the neighbors be if we were launching off fireworks before the sun rose? But maybe next year, that's something we'll think about. I'm Aaron Winawiski. I teach here. I really, my intention though is not that you would simply learn from me or learn what God has taught me. My intention is that we would look into God's word and your heart would be open to hearing from him today, that you would learn from God this morning. So I want to say hi to everybody who's at home or wherever you're listening from. Everybody tune in on, or if you're tuned in on the live stream, make sure to say hello in the chat. Let us know that you are here. And I actually, I have people, so I'm teaching at the bar right now, and I have people sitting at the bar today, and one of them is Rachel, who will say hello to you in the chat. You can't see her, but she's right here, I promise. And we're going to practice something this morning with the people in the room. There's a traditional Easter greeting, a traditional Resurrection Sunday greeting that for hundreds of years, disciples of Jesus have been saying to each other. It's a call and response kind of thing. So anybody who knows it, if you don't know it, you're about to know it. So when somebody says, "He is risen..." All right, so some people in the room know he is risen indeed. That is the traditional Easter greeting. And we're going to celebrate the resurrection today, of course. We're also going to see that when the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection, often he combines that with talking about Jesus coming again. At New Day, we've been in the process of going through the book of Revelation, and literally, I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago, and the speaker at the conference said, because it was all pastors in the room, and he said, "Pastors, you want to stay in the first couple of chapters of Revelation, and then the last couple of chapters," he said, "everything in between there, you really don't want to go there." But that's where we've been for like the last 8 months, because I want you to be people, instead of just hearing bits and pieces of Revelation that people are tweeting or that you see in Ghostbusters Afterlife or wherever there are bits and pieces, we want to read the whole book. So that's what we've been working on. So I'm thinking that maybe in addition to the traditional greeting, "He is risen," maybe in central Wisconsin, we could start something where somebody says, "He's coming again," and then we say, "Oh yeah, you betcha." And maybe that will catch on throughout the world for generations to come. Or maybe I should never, ever do that again. That's probably what my bride, Michelle, is thinking. Maybe I should never do that again. So anybody in here, do you ever have anxiety dreams? Anyone? Okay, I'm not the very only one. There are people who have anxiety dreams. Sometimes people have a dream that they're drowning or that they're falling or that they're being chased or that you showed up for a test that you didn't study for. Anyone get those? I was involved in theater when I was in high school. So my recurring anxiety dream is that I'm backstage, there's a production about to happen, and there's a room full of people, and it's almost my turn to go on, and I have never looked at the script, I don't have my lines memorized, and I've never been to a practice, and it's my turn to go on. And we have that kind of anxiety, like we're afraid that we're going to do something in life that is going to embarrass us or something we're not prepared for. And so our dreams can reflect that sometimes, and we get attacked by that anxiety. There is this saying about the world: all the world is a stage and all the men and women merely players. That's something William Shakespeare said, and I think there's something to that. I think in it, just beyond my own anxiety dreams, I think we're all looking for what is my role to play? What should I be doing? What should I be saying? And oftentimes we just feel so unprepared. There's so many uncertainties in life. Like, we don't have the script to our own show. And if you're watching a play or a television show, you know who the star is because they're the one who's in every scene, practically. Well, it makes sense then that we would feel pressure to kind of keep it together because we feel like we're the stars of our own show because from our perspectives, we are in every scene. I am the star because none of you are in all the scenes. I'm sorry. We all come from that perspective. And so we wonder, even if you're somebody who doesn't like to be in the spotlight, somebody who's really insecure, insecure people are thinking that they're being watched, that they're being judged. Who's looking at me? What if I make a mistake? What if I do something wrong? How is that going to affect my future? Will I be embarrassed or ashamed by what I do? Will I be left all alone? Am I going to lose what I have or miss something that I could have had? What will the future bring? And what will I do to not mess it up? There's a lot of pressure when you're the star of your own show and the spotlight is on you. Good news today is that that's not the whole truth. A really important truth that I want us to remember this Easter is that Jesus the King is the star of the show. Not just 2,000 years ago, not just here today, everywhere for all time, Jesus. Hold on, just a second. Now I gotta, oh, okay, all right. Woof! The anxiety dreams? Yeah, Heidi said this is hers. Good news, Heidi. It doesn't matter. He's risen. He is risen indeed. So the theme that we want to remember today as this Resurrection Sunday is we don't have to be so worried about being in front of a microphone or on stage or being the star of our own lives. God is the master producer. He has set the venue and the entire setting. He's put the production together. He's given the Holy Spirit to be the director who we can go to and say, what's my line here? What should I say? He teaches us and leads us in how to interact with people and how to interact with God. And we don't have to have the pressure of being the star. There is one star, and it's Jesus the King. He proved it when he rose from the dead. So I want us to picture in our minds this scene as I read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. I want us to picture it unfolding like a play on stage or like a show on television. I want us to imagine what this was like as we read the resurrection account from Matthew chapter 28. It says, early on Sunday morning. Now, just pause right there, because you might think this right now is early on Sunday morning. Those people who are here for the sunrise service this morning, they know what early on Sunday morning means. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day. Now, I promise I'm not going to pause every three words, but I just want to say, what a great name for a church. Anyway, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Okay, I'm going to pause for another moment because I love it. Just don't miss this. We've got soldiers. Picture, you guys in the back, are you picturing soldiers in your mind? They got Roman, they got armor. They're trained in how to do battle. They see this angel and they are so afraid they faint. Who doesn't faint though? The women, right? The soldiers faint and the women are still standing there. This is a point where I was expecting some amens. But anyway, the angel spoke to the women and said, "Don't be afraid. I know but my face is like lightning and there's an earthquake and everything, but don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I have told you." So the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened. Now, wait a minute. The angel just told them not to be frightened. Like, what is their problem? No, but they're very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. Can you imagine? They were going there like visiting a grave. And now the grave that they were going to visit is empty. And the person whose body they were going to honor is now standing in front of them. They ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. I want to point out, there are other places in Scripture where people or angels are worshiped. Apostles, disciples, they do miracles and people worship them. And the disciples will stop those people and say, no. Don't worship us. We're just people like you. Or angels in heaven we saw in the book of Revelation. No. Don't worship me. I'm just a servant of the one you should be worshiping. And here we see these women worship Jesus, and he doesn't correct them because it is fully appropriate. Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is greater than the greatest angels. He is worthy to be worshiped. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me here." When Jesus conquered death, he proved without a doubt that he is Jesus the Christ. Now, I know sometimes we hear the word Jesus used, and it's like a swear word, right? People get mad, and they say his name. And sometimes they make it especially powerful when they add Christ to it. So sometimes we think of the word Christ as just like in order to emphasize how mad I am. Sometimes we say Jesus Christ as if Christ is his last name. It's not his last name. It's a title. In Greek, Christ means anointed one. It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. An anointed one means king. We know this because in The Lion King, there's a point where Simba is anointed by Rafiki. Am I getting the names right? Help me out here. Anointed by Rafiki across his forehead, signifying that he is the heir to the king. So that's how we know that anointed means king. So Christ, when we say Christ, sometimes in my mind, and you'll hear me say it today, when I'm reading scripture and I run across the word Christ, in my mind, I automatically insert the King. That helps us understand. This isn't his last name. This is his title. So when he was resurrected, Jesus proved that he is more than a prophet. He's more than a baby born to a virgin. He is Jesus the King. After his resurrection, Jesus instructed his disciples to announce the good news of the kingdom in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, making disciples in every people group around the world. He had to give them that mission because what they fully expected is that Jesus the King would be a political king who would reign in Jerusalem and who would push out the Roman occupiers. His mission is much larger, though, because 2,000 years later, we're still working on accomplishing it, and we're getting close. That's why we're, as a church, we've adopted a people group, the Samburu and Rendile people of northern Kenya, because there are people in remote areas who have never heard the name Jesus. They've never heard that he was born the Son of God, that he rose again and proved that he is the King. They've never heard the good news that they can be united with God, made right with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So the Rendile and the Samburu people are learning about who Jesus is. They're following him as obedient disciples, and they're walking to the next village and sharing the good news of the kingdom with people who for us are geographically and culturally very far and for them are very attainable. And that's how the good news is spreading to every people group around the world. We also want to be witnesses to the 50,000 people right here in Marathon County who have heard the name Jesus, but they aren't worshiping him or obeying him as King. See, we're living between the time of his resurrection and ascension into heaven to his throne and his return to earth at some point in the future. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Hopefully this has given you a picture of Jesus the King, who is the star of the show. He invites us to join in on his story, which lasts forever, rather than being all anxious and trying to control our story, which is temporary. So rather than thinking we're the star of our little show, let's get a better understanding of Jesus the King. Remember, so the first generation of disciples thought that the return of Jesus and the final day of the Lord, judgment day, was imminent. It could come at any time. They were the disciples, even when Jesus, before his crucifixion and resurrection, it seemed like constantly asking him, "Is now the time? Is this the time that you're going to start acting like the King?" And then even after his resurrection, they're like, "Okay, all right, so now you've shown that you have the power over death. So, like, when are you going to take your throne? When are you going to pick up a sword? Like, when are you going to start acting like the King?" They really thought it was going to be within their lifetime. So when years passed and there were groups of disciples who were making more disciples from town to town, from village to village, and then someone in one of those villages who was a disciple, a follower of Jesus, would die, people go, "Oh no, they died before Jesus came back. They missed his return," because they were thinking it could be any time. It's because of that situation that the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to one of those churches in a place called Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says to them, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." So I'm pointing this out because today we remember the resurrection of Jesus. We also see that when the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus, he often talks about the return of Jesus. "We tell you this directly from the Lord," verse 15. "We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." So, encourage each other with these words. This was to be an encouragement. Hey, don't worry about the people who have died, because Jesus is the king of more than today. He's the king of yesterday. He's the king of forever. Encourage each other with these words. The invitation is to pledge ourselves to him as king, to cancel our show, die to ourselves, let him hand us the script for the show that goes on forever. And even those people who have died already will be raised on the last day. Paul sends a letter to another church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. He says, "But there's an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come, when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet." What Paul shows us here is that the day of the Lord is a two-sided coin. The good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, God's authority, is good news for those who have pledged themselves to him, for those who say, "Yes, I'm not the king of my life. You are the king, and I'm going to honor you as king." To the extent that we haven't done that, that we've said, no, this I want to control. I have to worry about what's going to happen because I'm in charge of my destiny. I am the master. Who are we competing with? We're competing with God. And when the kingdom of God comes, those who are in competition with God are not going to experience good news. They're going to experience what the Apostle Paul says here: the destruction of every ruler and authority and power. Christ reigning until he humbles his enemies beneath his feet. To the extent that we believe we're in control, we're buying into those powers, those authorities. So this Easter, you're probably listening to this message because you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. You're probably here because you have some sense of that, and belief is a good start. When we read the book of James, the letter that James writes to disciples, he says, it's great that you believe. If your belief doesn't turn into action at all, then maybe it's dead. He said, because even the demons acknowledge the truth. They believe there's one God. They believe Jesus is king, and they shudder. So what's the difference between a disciple and a demon if a disciple believes and a demon believes? The difference is that the disciple's belief is more than an intellectual acknowledgement of what is true. It is trust expressed in action. And it's faithfulness, like a faithful friend. It's a relationship. It's a yielding of a person's life to Jesus as king. It's not my show, it's his. I am not competing with him for authority or control. The spotlight is his. The throne is his. I am his. That's the attitude of a disciple. So we're going to quickly see how this plays out in the revelation of Jesus the King. Because a lot of people see big uncertainties in the world and they wonder, how will it end? So we're seeing these references that I mentioned to the last book of the Bible, but we want to dig in. So let's take a look. And I want you to keep in mind, I want you to think about what we read already about the resurrection of Jesus and how the resurrection shows that he is more than a good man, more than a prophet. As we read Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. I remember singing, Heidi, you remember singing that in choir in Handel's Messiah? Yeah, like that song comes to my mind right away. He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. This is what the women did when they met the resurrected Jesus, right? And we're seeing that continues in heaven. And they said, we give you thanks, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who was. Now, this phrase happens a number of times in Scripture, and it's always the one who was, who is, and is to come. But this doesn't say is to come, because to come has already come at this point. The one who is and who was. Because you've taken your great power and have begun to reign, and the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God which is in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. This is the day of the Lord, judgment day, the apocalypse. So let's be people who don't wait for that day. Let's be people who worship and obey and trust Christ the King today and find that we can relax and not be in control of whether or not the camera works on Easter morning. What else could make us nervous? What else could get us anxious? Are we going to be worried or will we trust in him? Since he's risen, death is conquered, and there is no undoing what he has done. Oh, but you don't understand. Inflation. Oh, inflation is on the rise. And housing prices are going up, and so many things are on the rise at a historic rate. But what does it matter if he is risen? He is risen indeed. Yeah, but war is happening around the world, and the tempers of world leaders who could affect everything, who could destroy entire countries, their tempers are on the rise. What does it matter if those things are on the rise? He is risen. Yeah, but in Europe and Asia, COVID-19 rates are on the rise again. And King Jesus is not surprised. He's not worried. He's not uninvolved in what's happening in our world. In fact, he is risen. So yesterday, Michelle and I were making food in our kitchen. We were following a recipe, making dinner. She mixed some things together for a sauce that weren't supposed to be mixed, and nothing exploded, but she was still concerned that I might be disappointed that the blue cheese sauce got mixed with the hot sauce instead of them being separate on top of the crispy chicken. I'm preparing mentally for this message, and I honestly thought in my head, what is there to be disappointed about? He is risen. He is risen indeed. We live in a time where we see hell bubbling up in our world in so many ways, so many things that if we focused on that, we could be worried about. And then we also see heaven shining in certain ways, right in this space, in this room. Many of you were here on Friday remembering Jesus giving his blood by giving your blood in order to save lives. That was a beautiful thing. That's a great example of heaven shining into our world. So we have hell bubbling up in certain ways and heaven shining in. We're stuck in this point in the middle. And the big story is that as the world looks at what are we going to do about that, and they fear and they wonder and they argue about what needs to be promoted and what needs to be prioritized in order to make the world a better place. We're all reading from just our little piece, our little bit of the script. We're asserting our own role as more important than others. And it's always going to set us up against the vision of the greater story. God the Father has produced a plan. The Holy Spirit is directing, and the star is Jesus the King. So today is a day to remember that he's more than the one who is with the Father and the Spirit at the creation of the universe, although that is true. He's more than a baby born to a virgin in a manger, although that is true. He's more than the perfect lamb who was slain for the sins of the world, although that is true. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of all who believe and who follow him. He proved this because he is risen.
He is risen.
Let's pray. God, for the ways that we have tried to control our little worlds and assert our own little stories, forgive us, God. Let us be like those elders in heaven in the book of Revelation. Let us be like those women who were the first to discover the empty tomb. God, let us fall at the feet of Jesus and worship and humble ourselves and trust that you've got this. You proved it. Let us be people who are ready to meet you and who are spreading your word, your fame, the good news of the kingdom from east to west, across the street, and around the world for our good and for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to encourage you that if you're tuning in via the live stream, we're going to build in a couple of minutes here where you can have a discussion, where you can be involved in the chat. You can talk to people where you are if you've got other people there. But also, like I said, Rachel's sitting here at the bar, and she's ready to engage in conversation because we want to be about more than simply consuming. We want to be about community. So in this room, people are going to have conversations around tables because it isn't the sermon that transforms lives. It's the conversation after where the church acts like the church together. So be part of the church today as you're tuning in on the live stream. And we will catch up with you next week. Next week, I'm going to unpack that Thessalonians package about meeting Jesus in the air and give more teaching about that. So I want to make sure to invite you, come back next week, be a part of that. And for now, go in peace. Enjoy your Resurrection Sunday.